I want to help you with some thoughts this morning. And one of them is found in Mark chapter 10. It's the miracle of blind Bartimaeus. There's a lot that can be learned just from that miracle. Probably the greatest truth of that miracle is the fact, down in verse 52, says he immediately received his sight. And then how God works. Do you remember the moment you got saved?
Yeah.
Are you born again? You've been saved. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah.
When you called on Christ and you confessed your sin to him and you said, Jesus, I ask you now to be my Savior. Something happened in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, God doesn't put us on probation.
Right.
He doesn't. I don't have a brother-in-law. My brother-in-law lives in the panhandle of Florida. I don't know if you know it or not, but all the rednecks in Florida live in the panhandle. I guess I am one, because I married, I told the preacher, I married the daughter of the tribal chief of all the rednecks in the Florida panhandle. He's the big daddy of all the rednecks. And anyhow, he's a wonderful Christian man, very faithful, but he is sure redneck. And I love him to pieces. But my brother-in-law, he used to tell his boys, he raised three or four boys, he said, well, when we had steak, the boys got hot dogs. He said, I told them, we ain't giving you steak until we see how you turn out. That's probably not very good parenting, but I'm sure he was just kidding. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. One of his boys was a great preacher boy. He runs up and down the country with a tent, preaching everywhere under that old tent, getting folks saved. But that's just a tease. But, you know, God doesn't wait to see how we turn out.
Right.
Immediately, His Holy Spirit comes into our soul, and immediately we're quickened. Quickened by His Word, the psalmist says. That word quickened means He gave us life.
Right.
It's life. You know that word quick. I guess they still call it, but down underneath your fingernail, that's called the quick. And if you ever touch it, or you bite your fingernails, or you cut too short, or you get a sliver up there in that quick, you'll know it real quick. Amen. And you eat a bag of French fries from McDonald's and you trim your nails too short, you'll know it real quick. The Bible says something about the quick and the dead. My dad used to say the quick got out of the way, the dead didn't. Amen. But the word quick in the Bible means alive.
Right.
And we're quickened. We're made alive spiritually by the Word of God. What a blessing. So that's probably the most prevalent message or lesson from this whole chapter. I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then we're going to give you a couple three thoughts. It says in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. See that? A great number of people. Now let's just picture this multitude of people moving through those crowded streets. Shops, people selling stuff, people got all kinds of things going on. You talk about a flea market, it was 24/7 in those days. And here's that, verse 46, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I love this phrase right here, Jesus stood still. Oh, what a day. Do you remember when Jesus stood still to hear your cry?
Yeah.
Oh, what a thing, man. Bartimaeus didn't know what was coming, but things were fixing to change. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, followed Jesus in the way. Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word to our hearts, bring encouragement and help Bring a blessing. Lord, I pray for that hungry soul this morning that they will get something for their hearts. Thank you for this young man who just recently came to Jesus. Lord, bless him and encourage him in his Christian life. Help him to fall in love with Jesus. Yes. And the Word of God. Touch him in Jesus' name. Pray these things in thy name. Amen. Of this question that Jesus asked the blind man, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Basically, that's what he was asking him there. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, you might think, it's kind of obvious, Jesus, the man's blind. What do you think he would want? But you would say, well, Jesus doesn't ask foolish questions. He doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
He doesn't. He's not one of these Captain Obvious guys, you know. He wanted this blind man to acknowledge his need before this multitude, this great multitude that was getting through these streets. Jesus stood still. When Jesus stood still, that whole crowd stood still. They knew something was going to happen. Either he's going to teach, or do a miracle, or something. And he stood still. Everybody was listening. And he sees blind Bartimaeus. And he wanted Bartimaeus to express his own need. You know what? That's what each one of us has to do. We have to acknowledge to Jesus we need something. We need Him.
Right.
Whether it's His touch for healing, whether it's His touch for salvation, whether it's touch for wisdom or for victory, He wants us to acknowledge our need to Him. Well, a question comes down to you and me. What do you want from Jesus? This man knew what he needed. But there's a lot of folks that don't know. If Jesus came in this room right now, what would you ask him for? I'm asking rhetorically, you don't have to answer, but in your own heart, what would you ask Jesus for? Where this brother bear his heart in Sunday school this morning, he's burdened for his children. I'm the same way. I think every one of us that has children and grandkids, they got to grow up in this world. It's a scary place. Tell you what, I drive all over America. When I was a kid, we used to come down there to Randall. We used to go to Winfield, Virginia, over to Mountain Area, Paul Lackey's old church. And we used to go to these old camp meetings. My dad would carry us down here. It's amazing. My dad's a Yankee, born in Detroit, Michigan. And the pastor was there in Lansing, Michigan for all these years, since 1955. And yet, his appetite for preaching was right down here in these mountains. And he loved it. Oh my goodness, I can tell you some stories. But that's where he brought us. Well, it's difficult when people don't know what they need. This blind man did. I would imagine your neighbors from down your street, if you work with, if you know, maybe even some of your relatives. They don't know what they need. They know something's wrong. There's turmoil. There's unsettled spirit in their hearts.
Right.
They don't know their need. Now, I've heard about religion. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Oh, I don't need God. Oh, I don't know if I believe the Bible. Let me tell you two things about God. One is, if there's no God, then there's no Bible to believe.
Right.
If there's no Bible to believe, there's no God.
Right.
Everything we know about God came from this book.
Right.
Psalm 138, verse 2. Some of you know what I'm going to say. But it says in Psalm 138, verse 2, God said, I have exalted my word above my name.
Right.
What about that? God thinks more of His word than He does His own name. There's nothing else in this world, nothing else in this universe that gets more exaltation than the Word of God. How about that? So it's pretty important. Then people will turn their back on it. So you can't say, well, I want to get saved. I believe in God, but I don't believe the Bible. That was written by men. Sorry, you don't get it. If you don't believe that Bible, you're not going to be saved.
Right.
Simple. Very simple. Well, I can go along with the stories of the Bible, but I don't know if I can actually believe in there's a real God somewhere. That's far-fetched. You don't get it either. Because there is a God. He's our Creator.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, because He's our Creator, that automatically makes every human being subject and responsible to Him.
Right.
Whether they know it or not. He's the authority. He's the boss. He's the master.
Amen.
So I'm glad to call his son, his child. Glad and thankful. What do you want? What do you want from Jesus? Lost man? Some of them don't know. They want to be free from sin, but they don't know how to get there. But we do know that the Bible will give them to get with that. God, run with Christians. They know all they want out of life is a happy home. They just want to be happy. Well, if you're saved, you ought to be happy, I would think. But it's more than just having a happy home. I want to have a happy home. But more than that, I want to have a Christian home. Sometimes having a Christian home doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy. Because that means I'm going to have to tell my kids what to do, where to go, what friends I can hang around with. And they aren't going to be real happy. And my boys are both grown, married, you know, and all. So they're happy now. My boy yesterday, he lives in California, and both of our boys are adopted. And my boy called his mama yesterday, and he's with a person that he hasn't known very long there. He came out to visit him, and his wife brought her kid with him. And so he took them to the zoo, and they've been kind of enjoying one another for about a week or so. He's ready for her to go. He called his mama and just wept and said, "Mama, I'm so glad you raised me the way you did." He said, I couldn't stand the life that this poor girl has gone through. Been through marriages and divorces and never know where dad is and all that stuff. Heartbreaking.
Yes.
She doesn't know what she wants. God help her. I hope someday she comes to a realization that what she needs and wants is Jesus. God can give you not only a happy home, but He can give you a Christian home.
Right.
A Christian home. Christian marriage. A godly marriage. Jeremiah 29 says, "He shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart."
Right.
With
yeah.
all your heart.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 28 says, "If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee." Now, I know that was an Old Testament promise, but every one of us can lay claim to that one.
Amen.
Seek me. Will be found. Of
right.
And I can say it on the authority of God's word this morning. If you'll seek Him, you'll find Him.
Right.
The second question is, how badly do you want Him? Well, Bartimaeus, he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he said, "Well, wait a minute, calm down here, fellas. Jesus is important. He's got a whole multitude here to deal with. You all just be quiet. Don't disturb. You're embarrassing us. Now just there and quiet." Don't they say down in the South, quieten down. That's a good word. Quieten down. Yeah, y'all just be quiet there. Did it stop him? It says right there, he cried out the more. He raised up the volume a little bit. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. He got it.
Yeah.
So how badly do you want it? I ain't saying you got to get up from the aisles like Brother Hewitt did. You remind me, my brother Green told on him. He got so blessed that morning. I was so proud of him. I got to thank the Lord for him. He was a good brother. But if you want something from Jesus, you may go after him. You may have to deny your friends, ignore your family. There'll be all kinds of people who will be against you. All kinds of folks will try to quiet you down. Try to change your mind. How badly do you want it? You got it. Some people are like that little boys. It's got sense to the teacher. And the school teacher both told his daddy, "This boy's naughty. You need to do something about it." So he came home with that note from the teacher, and his mom said, "Well, Junior, you just go up to your bedroom. You pray. You ask Jesus to help you be a good boy." He got up there. He didn't even know what to pray. Little boy kneeled next to his bed and said, "Now, dear Jesus, I'm being naughty, but you can help me, but if you haven't got time to help me," he said, "I'm enjoying being just the way that I am." Don't pray like that. We gotta figure this thing out, amen? Well, a lot of Christians fall short. They stop short of that rich, full, abundant life that God provides.
Yes.
He said, "I have come a that you might have abundant life. Life more abundantly. And leave it to John chapter 10. The last question is this. The last question is, what will you do with it when you get it? When Jesus answered your prayer, here's Bartimaeus. He cried out. Jesus stood still. He said, what do you want? Well, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, go my way. Thy faith has made thee whole. But what did he do? The Bible says, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So if God gives you what you're really seeking from him, what are you going to do with it? That's the question, isn't it? That kind of will prohibit us from asking for a raise, or for a cottage on the lake, or for a new bass boat. Oh, I'd love to have a new bass boat. but I'm not sure that would help me. It might give me distraction, especially on the Lord's Day. I don't fish on the Lord's Day. I do love to fish, but I don't fish on the Lord's Day. I do that on purpose. I just lay everything down. I don't want to go fishing on the Lord's Day. I don't believe God blessed me for that.
Right.
When I see these guys pulling their bass boats around on Sunday morning, I say, Lord, I pray their motor won't start today. I pray the fish won't bite today. They need to go to church. Amen. What are you going to do? When God hears your prayer, saves those grandkids, or touches your children, or blesses your children, what are you going to do? I trust you'll follow Jesus in the way. That's what blind Bartimaeus did. He just made him more of a follower. He got so blessed, he just said, I'm just going to stay with Jesus the whole time. Lord, help us. Lord, help us for so many needs. I know we have needs. Every single one of us has needs. Physical, financial. Lord, we need a need in our family. We have needs that only you can fill. But I pray you give us the diligence and determination that old Bartimaeus had that day when he cried out, got your attention. And you had to go against that crowd. And you stood still. And you heard his cry. And you answered his prayer. And you met his need. Lord, help that one that's here today that has that desperate need in their soul. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to waste one second. They knew immediately what they wanted from Jesus. God, I pray you give them determination in their soul. I'm sure this preacher is burdened for revival here. And I know there's people here just like this preacher. They love this place. They love this church. Lord, there's an outreach. There's a shining light here. There's a gospel witness here. Lord, their heart's need is revival. God, help us. Help us to have revival. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for the church to regain strength. Thank you, Lord, for these faithful ones that are here today. There's hope and real hope. God, help us for Jesus' sake. In that name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.